Blog Talk Radio. Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you.
God is God all by himself. The word tells us is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. The word also tells us if we delight ourselves in him, that he will give us the desires of our heart. We want you to know the day that the word of God is forever. And the breakthrough broadcast is here to teach the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God so that you can get a greater understanding, so that you can be able to grow and prosper in the things of God. Today, we are excited about what God has given us for today. Our topic is requirement for godly leaders. Our key verse is 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and the 2nd verse. It is required in steward that a man be found faithful. And the NIV version, it reads, it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. We have our subtopics that we're going to be going in today, and we are excited about that, which is the standard for pastoral leaders. And that will come from Miss Helen Watson, which will be coming from 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, 1st through the 7th verse. So you can get your Bibles all ready and prepare. So when Ms. Watson comes, that you will be ready to study the Word of God with her. We would like to also, our second subtopic will be standards for lay leaders. It will come from Acts, the 6th chapter, the 3rd verse, and 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, 8 through the 13th verse, which we'll be honored to have Pastor Francina Shank. And the last chapter of the last topic of that subtopic will be standards for affirming leaders, which is taken from the book of Titus, the 1st chapter, 5 through 9, which will be coming from Pastor Lewis Malone. So we want you to get ready. Call a neighbor, call a friend. Let them know that the breakthrough broadcast is on the air. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, dear God, for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, dear God, today that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Thy word have we hid in our heart that we will not sin against thee. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, God, that giving us a lamp that we can be able to follow after you. We thank you for divine instructions. We thank you, God, for the enlightenment and the educational aspect of your word. Father, we ask thee, God, for your divine blessing. We pray even now that the Holy Spirit will be upon us, that we will be able to teach your word. Father, we ask you, God, to bless the listeners that are listening to this broadcast, those that are listening, God, from the north, from the south, from the east and the west. God, cause faith to come alive in their hearts today, God, that they can stand on the word of God, that they, God, will take this word, and this word will be more important or more valuable than $10 million or more, because it will give us life. We cannot buy life, but we can have your word, and it is freely given. So, Lord, today we thank you once again for the blessings and your mercy and your grace upon our lives. And this we thank you and bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Oh, we are excited about what God is about to do. We're getting ready to go into our discussion for the day. And again, we'd like to honor the Lord for Ms. Helen Watson. And she's going to come to us and talk to us in a teacher discussion on standards for pastoral leadership. Ms. Helen Watson.
The broadcast family, once again, and to all our listeners, thank you for tuning in with us again on this Saturday. And as Dr. McCoy said, I will be coming from 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 7, and standards for pastoral leaders. And it reads as, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, and good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, nor striker, not greed or filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. And verse 7 says, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. And here we're talking in 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, we're talking about qualifications so they can get our overseers of the church. And when we have, and saying if a man desires to be a bishop, and we all know that bishops are overseers, they're overseers of many churches, not just their congregations, but many congregations. And as it says here in chapter 3, he must be, he must desire for good work. He must be blameless, to have vigilant. That means he must be a man that is, He's dependable. A lot of people God cannot depend on these days. We want titles, but we don't want responsibilities. And a bishop has to be a person that is wanting and willing to accept responsibility. And as we read in chapter 3 in 1 Timothy, we see all the qualifications that that he has to have. It's the one that rules over his house. If he is not a good ruler over his own house and his children is out of control, though his wife is out of control, how can he rule over God's house? So we see here in chapter 3 what it would take to be a qualified overseer of God's house and God's people. But when you're a qualified overseer of God's people and you listen to God and you have that relationship and you listen and he's leading and guiding you, you'll do an excellent job. And that's what God expects out of us. He expects us to handle his work with excellence. And that's what I tell people all the time. You cannot do God's work have done, that's not acceptable. So when you desire the office of a bishop, it tells you here everything that you have to do. A lot of people, like I say, want titles, but they're not ready for the offices that they're chosen for or that they're given or that they bestow on themselves, because we sometimes know that people bestow things on themselves. God has not called them. They just decided we're going to do it ourselves. And when you do it that way, you're not equipped to handle all of the personalities, the attacks of the devil, the attacks of Satan that will come at you when you have a congregation of people that you're not qualified or ready to deal with. You're not qualified to deal with them. You have not gotten to that point where God would have you before you become a bishop or you become, you know, that thing that God would have you to be, that bishop, that pastor, that minister, whatever. But here we're talking about if a man desires to be a bishop, that is a huge job. And some of us today, I see a lot of churches, people call themselves bishops. I even seen people call themselves apostles. They have not, they just come into the ministry, but they want all these titles. But it is a strong-minded man. It's a man with a clear mind, a sober mind, the Bible says. Somebody who is apt to preach, somebody who is apt to teach. You have to have an anointing to do this. God has to move you into that position. So we cannot just step into that position by ourselves. We see here in chapter 3 all the things that it lists. He cannot be greedy. He cannot be after filthy lucre. He cannot be a brawler. And the, number seven, in verse seven says, moreover, he must have a good report for them which are without. I mean, the people on the outside, when the world looks at the church and when the world looks at a bishop, and we have a lot of bishops that are televangelists and that we see on television, and even in some of our larger churches in Jacksonville and surrounding areas, the world looks on them, and they're looking for them to make a mistake. They're looking for them to fall. They're looking for them just a tiny bit of thing that they're looking for just so they can talk about it and they can bring it to light and try to scar or put a mark on the body of Christ. That's why it says in verse 7 that, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without. That means the world, when the world is looking at the church, a lot of people will talk about bishops. A lot of people will talk about the men and women of God, but let them talk. Just don't let it be the truth. If that's where the problem comes, if it's the truth, then we have a problem. But people are going to talk. They talked about Jesus Christ. But the thing is, they crucified him. But if someone is talking about you and it's in a bad way and putting you in a bad light, women, men and women of God, bishops, pastors, reverends, whatever, even deacons, don't let that be the truth. They can talk all they want to. Just let it not be the truth. And that's why we have qualifications here. We have to go by what the word says. If you desire to even work and be in leadership, you should have all these things going on, not because you want to be a bishop, but because you are a man or woman of God. You should have integrity. That's what God's people should be striving for, integrity, excellence in the body of Christ. And some of us don't do that, and we need to see a lot more of that today. But in Timothy, 1 Timothy in chapter 3, it tells you everything that a man should be doing in order to be a bishop, to order to lead God's people. And as I said before when I started, a bishop is not only on his own congregation. There are many congregations that he's over and that he oversees. So he has to be a man. He has to be a strong-minded man. And the Bible says that he has to be a clear thinker, that he has to think with clarity. That means that you have to have a relationship with God, because there are so many people and so many people pulling at you. Like I said, you have to have that anointing. God have to have moved you into that position because you were ready at the time that he said you were ready, not because you just wanted to move it into yourself. It's a lot of responsibility. And people, like I said, want titles, but the greatness of the responsibility, they're not ready for when they do it themselves. So this is telling you what God requires, what is required of men who want to be bishops, God's men and women of God. Even, like I said, not even being a bishop, being in any kind of overseer or leadership position, you should be blameless. We know we all have a past, but when we're born again, all that becomes new. Our life becomes new. No matter what people say about you, they're going to say, I knew you when anyway. We all know that. But like I say, don't let it be true why you said you come to God and you cleaned up your life. Don't let what they say be true about you in that sense. But it shows you clearly that is a lot of responsibility. See, you can't. We all have a past, like I said, but you cannot tell anybody anything. You cannot preach to anybody or teach to anybody or witness to anybody unless you've been through something. All of us have a past. We know that. But we use anything that the devil meant for our bad, we turn it around and we use it for our good in the body of Christ, because we're new creatures. God has saved us. All that has passed away. So let people point, let people say. But in the office of a bishop, you have to be ready. You have to be responsible. You have to be a clear thinker. You don't want to, like it says, not wanting filthy lucre. I mean, you can't be in it just for the money. And we know we hear that all the time. Like a lot of people say they don't trust pastors. They don't trust teachers. They don't trust bishops because they are after money. That might be so. But every man and woman of God is just not after filthy lucre and money. We have true men and women of God who are actually doing the work of God, who are actually walking in that office as a bishop and walking without any, being blameless, being spotless, governing God's house like he's supposed to. So that is what we're talking about today. We need leaders that are doing an excellent job for God. That's what he requires of us. He gives us his excellence all the time. He does his very best for us. He gives us his very best. So we have to give that back to him. And that's what 1 Timothy chapter 3 is talking about. We have to have leaders that are spotless, that are blameless, that are for God's work, that are in this to build God's kingdom and to build God's people. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Ms. Watson. Thank you for that discussion on standards for pastoral leadership. And there must be standards for many things that we live by and should live by, but there also should be a standard which God has already given us, guidelines that we can live and that we can be an example to the unbeliever. There are many, many things that Ms. Watson has shared with us today from 1 Timothy, that third chapter, 1 through the 7th verse. And it is so important that the Word of God applies in our life each and every day. But the Word of God said, let your light so shine before men that others would see your good work and to glorify the Father which is in heaven. He tells us not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind through the Spirit of God. We have to have our mind renewed day by day. And when we have our mind renewed day by day, then we can walk according to God's righteousness and not ours. And I was just listening to what Ms. Watson was saying about the standard for pastoral leadership. Yes, we have read this time after time, but it is for us to understand, even if we desire the position and desire to be a bishop, which she was talking about with the pastors and the 5-fold ministry, especially the pastors and the bishops and whatnot, then we have to be an example. It tells us that in this same area of teaching, that it was 5 different things that I noticed, and it is that bishop, since we're talking about the bishop, but it let us know that the people of God have certain things that we have to live up to as being a part of the Bible ministry, as being people of God, as being saved. But if as a leader, as a bishop, part of and pastor, evangelism, whoever you may be, then there are certain things that we have to live up to. Now, one of the things that the Word of God points out as well, it was 5 categories that we can talk about, and we just want to just kind of look at this. And it says that we should be what? Righteous. Paul said a leader must be blameless. And Ms. Watson have already told us what righteousness is, in a sense, how we are to live right, how we to be able to represent Christ and be an example to the flock, be example to the world, not just living it within closed doors or living it within the church boundaries, but we have to live it in up towards our flock and with the world where we work and also with the people in our home. And it also says that that we should be caring. Spiritual leader must have hospitality, must be hospitable, compassionate, and they should be apt to teach the truth of the scripture. They should have self-control. I'm just going to stroll through this because of the fact that these are some things that you can think about. And I'm just going to go through them, which is self-control. You should, a minister must have a respectable, self-controlling manner, not giving to rage or anger, drunkenness, greed, covetous. Ms. Watson already covered that. Proven leadership. You should not put a person that wants to be in leadership just because you want to be in leadership. There's, your life has to be proven. And not as a person just getting in ministry should not automatically be a bishop or automatically be an apostle or whatever it may be. You need to grow. You need to mature because if you do, it can easily turn in to pride. The person that holds these offices need to be tested. The life need to be tested. And also the last one is if your life should be reprovable. Paul emphasized the importance of maintaining a good reputation among the outside, you know, those that you work with, those that you see, those your neighbors that's in the neighborhood. So it is so important that we as believers, we as part of the body of Christ, that we can live according to the standards, not our standards, but the standards of God. So here we are. We're going to just begin to do a little walking again, and we're going to talk about the standards for lay leaders, which is taken from Acts, the 6th chapter and the 3rd verse, and 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, 8 through the 13th verse. We would like to welcome Pastor Francina Shanks, who's going to talk to us in depth about the standards for lay leaders. Pastor Francina Shanks.
Hello, and God bless everyone that's on the broadcast. I will be coming from Acts, the 6th chapter and the 3rd verse, standards for lay leaders, chapter from the King James Version of the Bible, Acts 6:3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business.
Here were the apostles here picking out some Holy Ghost-filled men that were wise, had godly wisdom to help with the work of the ministry. Here I am now at 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and the 8th through the 13th verse. From the King James Version of the Bible. Likewise, verse 8, 3 and 8. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. That word grave means they must be worthy of respect. And they must not love money. They, you know, filthy lucre means that they must not be fond of getting money dishonestly, as the world does. They have to be in a place with God where they're not looking to profit from taking money in an ungodly way. That's what filthy lucre. They must not be greedy. Verse 9. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. They must have a pure heart toward God and speaking the word of God and revealing the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people of God, and not just the people of God, to the world as well. Verse 10, and let these also first be proved. These deacons are ministers. They must be proved first. Miss Helen Hooper spoke on this earlier when she was talking, how a lot of people, and I've seen it myself in my walk with God, how sometimes people are put in a position and they're not ready. I mean, so we have to go through a process, and God has to mature us before he can put us in these different positions. And like the Holy Ghost spoke to Miss Helen Hooper earlier, when she was ministering, she was talking about how a lot of people are put in those positions because they're looking at titles, and that's the wrong thing to do, you know, because if a person is put in a position before time because of a title or when they're not proven or mature, they will fall. They will soon shipwreck, in other words. So they have to be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon being found blameless. They have to be blameless before God. God will have you in a process where he'll work on your character. And I speak from my own experience and walk with God. God has to work on your character. He has to take different things out of you that is not like him. And so a person has to humble themselves and submit to God so he can do what he has to do in your life. Verse 11, even so must their wives be great, these deacons, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Grave, that means they must be respectful or have respect, show respect, and they must not be slanderers, talking about people and different things they shouldn't be doing. Double-minded, a double tongue means saying the same thing to one person and saying it to another. You know, they what the world calls being two-faced. And God does not like that named among his people. He does not like that, and he don't want us doing that. And, you know, we have many people doing that. And I've learned in that area myself, speaking for my own relationship with the Lord. He don't want us getting into those different areas. You got people talking about other pastors and ministers, and God don't want us doing that. And then we can't minister to anybody unless we've gone through something. We've got to, be in a place with God where we've gone through something, and God can teach us and show us how we stumbled. And then, you know, regained ourselves, or as the song said, got up and let God, you know, begin to work on our character as well. And that's the way these leaders have to be, to have godly standards. God will show you different things and take you through a process so that you can begin to demonstrate and show godly standards to his people and the world. Verse 12. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses as well. You can't be a deacon or a leader if you are not able to rule your house. If you're a man, you got to have one wife, it says here. And you got to rule your children, have them in subjection, and not letting your children be unruly when they go out in public and different things like that. You got to teach them values and nurture them in the way of the Lord and their own houses as well. It begins in your house. Dr. McCoy spoke about that a little while ago. You just can't show godly character when you're at home behind closed doors or in the church. You got to do it everywhere you go. It starts with your family, and it goes out into the workplace or to the shopping area, wherever you go. It has to be there. Verse 13, for they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And God wants us to be like that. He wants us as leaders to show that. And if we're pastors, elders, which means pastors, overseers, God does not want us to be lord over his heritage. 1 Peter 5:3 talks about that. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. So God wants us to be examples in everything we do. And we just can't talk the word like the scripture says. We can't just hear the word. Don't be doers of the word, the scripture says, but hearers of the word, I'm saying, but doers of the word. We just can't talk the word. You hear a lot of people say, Christians, I've heard other Christians say this, we got to walk the walk. We just can't talk the talk. We got to show it and let our light shine so that the world can see that Jesus truly is in us. And they'll say, it's something about you that's different. And I know the Lord spoke to me a couple of months back and about being an open epistle, read of all men. Everywhere we go, they got to see Jesus in us. Everywhere we go, even our family who are unsaved. We got a lot of unsaved family members. So we got to let them see that we're a bit changed. And I like what Ms. Hooper said, because I had just heard that on Mother's Day. Someone went back talking about they remember me from my past. And so I said to that person, well, I'm not that person anymore. That was in the past. Let the past stay in the past. But like Ms. Hooper had said, people will bring up your past. It's all good. They're going to bring up your past. They're going to say you were this, you did that. But you got to let them see your life the way you're living, that you're changed. And so I didn't argue with that person. I stayed temperate. Like the Bible says, we have to have temperance. We can't be quick to get angry and argue with people. And so I'm letting the Lord work that process in me. And I thank God and I give him all the glory. That's the way we got to be, because they will throw up your past about how you used to be this, how you used to argue and used to get in fights. I know I was a fighter. And so we got to be this as leaders, deacons, evangelists, pastors, bishops, elders. It means, you know, we got to be apostles, same thing. We got to do this. We got to have those godly standards. And to God be the glory for the great things he has done and will do. And I'm going to turn it back over to Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Pastor Shane. We thank God for that conversation, that wayside word of God that we receive on today. We thank God for being able to hear from the woman of God, to be able to get those precious nuggets, those gold nuggets, from both the women of God that we have heard on today. For the word of God says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I thank God because what Pastor Shanks was saying, you know, sometimes people may bring up, and they will bring up your past, but the word of God let us know when we are saved, when we have asked the Lord to come in our heart. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. I like that song that it was saying some time ago, I'm not the same anymore. It says again, I'm not the same anymore. Since Jesus came into my life, I'm not the same. So whatever I did, whatever was displayed as a sinner, the word of God made the difference in our lives. And therefore, we don't have to let the enemy, the Bible said, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And there are people out there that have been sent by Satan himself to come and to try to remind the people of God where they came from. Well, we thank God that we're not the same. We can, just as the one of God have already gave the answer to them. She said she didn't get angry. She said she knew what her life was before. That was before. But now we thank God that God has given us a new life in him. And we thank God because the word of God says that we were all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I think now that some of us are apostles, we are prophets, we have evangelists, we have pastors, and we have teachers in the body of Christ. We have laymen, we have believers. So those that say things that show where their maturity in Christ is. So we are talking about standard. We thank God for what the woman of God, Ms. Watson, said on us today about standards for pastoral leaders, all leaders. The view of the body of Christ, there is a standard for our living. Pastor Francina Shanks talked about the standard for lay leaders, the deacons, the people that are in the body of Christ. It is a way that we have to live. You know, if you're a deacon, you don't, I don't care what part of the ministry, you don't need but one wife anyway. If you're a man, if you're a woman, you don't need but one husband. And there with the drunkenness and all the things that it points out as being a new believer, when people were unsaved, those are the things that they did. But not taking a sip of alcohol, not getting a reminder of what you did, because the enemy could come in. And then the world is looking, I don't care if it's just a sip. When the enemy sees, when the world sees what you're doing, then they will try to plan fault, and this is what they will do in order to not to keep them coming into the kingdom. But we're getting ready because we're still walking. We're taking a walk. We're taking a walk through the Word of God. Here we're going to talk about our last subtopic is standards for affirming leaders. And that is taken from Titus of the first chapter, 5-9. And we would like to welcome Pastor Lewis Malone to the Breakthrough broadcast as he come to us and give us insight on the standards for affirming leaders. Pastor Malone.
Grace and peace to y'all this evening, to everyone that's on the broadcast and all the listeners this evening. I thank God and we give praise and honor to him for allowing us to be heard yet one more time. Amen. I want to continue on as the lesson. There's a we're going on to the standard for affirming leaders, which comes from the text from Titus chapter 1. Verses 5-9, that is reading as, for this cause left I be in Crete, that thou shalt set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, nor striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful words as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainslayers. Amen. And the topic is affirming standards for affirming leaders. First of all, we have to understand that affirming meaning to confirm or to ratify something. As a leader of the church, Paul left Titus to affirm these leaders in the church. You know, we know that Crete was people were known for their unruly behavior, their sinful natures, you know, the way that they were known liars. So Titus was there to ordain elders in the church. And we know that elders is the Jewish name for pastors, and the bishop is the Greek name for pastor or overseer, whatever title you choose to use. But know what title you're using and why. And as Titus come in to affirm these leaders, to ordain, there are standards, there are qualifications. And as Ms. Hooper pointed out earlier, they talked about the qualification, and plus what we read in Titus. When we go to confirm the leadership of a person, we have to look into their life, and we have to look at these standards that were set forth. And I know what we tend to do. We tend to add our own standards in there when it's clearly been given out, written out, that these are the qualifications. And one of the things that if we let's say if Titus was here today and he was going to the churches and to affirm the leadership in the churches today, we have a lot of pastors that has been married, divorced, and married again. And I know we have some differences of opinion in that, but I believe you become disqualified to be the pastor of the church if you have been divorced and married again, because you still have a living wife. You have two living wives. See, we know that Moses gave the option of get a divorce. But as Jesus said in the beginning, it was not so. So we are to, we have to know that this is a standard. But we're not doing it. But we have lowered our standards. The standards for leaders today pretty much goes on people's status quo. You know, you got some people that because they hold a certain status, they be lifted up as the leader of the church, which they're not looking at the spiritual side of the person. They're not looking at the person's life as to being blameless. Being blameless is not talking about people accusing you of anything. It's about you being faithful to the work of God, what God sent you to do. You don't deviate from your work, because we know for sure that there's two things people are going to do for you when we're talking about being blameless. Two things people are going to do for you. They're going to lie on you while you're living. They're going to lie for you when you're dead. So we get away from that being blameless, because somebody's going to blame you for anything. Some may blame me for being too direct when I speak to people, because I don't like people to get a misunderstanding. It's cut dry. And what these standards are, and these standards are that he said to be blameless and be the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of right or unruly, having faithful children of being believers in Christ. If a man cannot lead his own household to believe in Christ, then how can he rule? How can he lead the church? The man's life should be an example to his children, his wife, his whole household. And we, as you say, we're the salt of the earth. What does salt do? Salt make you thirsty. And if we're the salt of the earth, we ought to make people thirsty for what we have. And that's the Christ in us that we see. And our lives should be that example where our children and our families should say, I'm thirsty for what they have. And we have to know that these standards are written for a reason. Paul was going was on his missionary journeys, and he saw these things. He saw these are beginning of the churches, and he had to have standards. The church had to have standards. We have today, we have homosexuals that are being leaders in the church. No, 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 no. And, you know, and some people don't agree with me, that's fine with me. Go out there and be powerful, not popular. And a lot of things I say people are not going to like, but the word is true, okay? That we're not going to sit here and be led by people of ill rapport. You know, and we know that, you know, what was Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed for? It was for the same thing. So we're going to be led by the same thing? No, I don't think so. Titus here, he said, you have any standards for affirming? We have to look into the person's life, and the elder or the minister of the church must be qualified and have to meet family qualifications. You know, like I said, about being blameless, being a husband of one wife, the children being faithful, and children cannot be loose. Can't be out there with what my mommy said, out there acting like you don't have a home training, because you know better. You don't go out here being disrespectful and cursing and drinking and clowning in the street when you know that that wasn't the way you, that's not the household you came from. But you know that there are always some, there's always that one that may become an unbeliever, or may not even believe. You know, we all got one in the bunch. But even with that being so, the man can have 5-6 children. One is not faithful. One is unruly. He's not qualified. And I know some may say that's a little bit rough. Now you say no, but the word does it not say that? It says that his children are to not be that way. And so that means that he's not qualified. Anything that's not, is anything in your life that do not stand up to the standard or the qualifications, this disqualifies you. Point blank, plain and simple. and there's no room for, well, we need to level these like, no, it's cut dry. If you don't meet the qualifications, you are not qualified. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Pastor Malone. We thank God for what God has given us. We thank God for the bread of life that we have heard on today's broadcast. We thank God for giving us yet another opportunity to come before His precious people, that they can receive, that they can be able to have a life-changing experience. We realize that when a person is on the milk of the word, when a person just coming to Christ, that they are learning. There are certain things that God's word that will build them up and that will strengthen them. But as they begin to grow and as they begin to mature, then there are expectations that they need to make sure and that we all need that in order to be able to continue in the things of God and to be a light to them that are in darkness. Today, we were speaking on today the requirement of godly leaders. Somebody needed to know. Somebody needed to hear what the requirements are for not only for the fivefold ministry, but a requirement for all of us that we can live this life for Him. So the Bible says we don't know the day or the hour that is coming. But the word says it's coming like a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came that we can have life and that we can have it more abundantly. We're going to go to Pastor Shanks, and we're going to ask her, why is it important for leaders to be full of the Holy Spirit? Pastor Shanks.
And Dr. McCoy.
Why is it important for leaders to be full of the Holy Spirit?
It's important because if you don't have the Holy Ghost, then you can't have a relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
You know, because the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we must be born again. We must have the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Ghost, then we don't have any help. There's nothing that can help us unless, you know, we might as well just go on back out there and live in the world. So it's very important that we have the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost can lead us and guide us into all truth. And that we can have that power from on high.
Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome, Dr. McCoy.
We're going to go to Ms. Helen Cooper and Watson, and we're going to ask Ms. Watson, how can you become a better role model for those who are watching you?
Well, I think you can become a better role model for those who look up to you, and there are some people that we know that look up to us by keeping the word of God, not only living your life, you know, when you're in front of people, living a life and, you know, walking a straight line and keeping God's word, but also when people are not watching, because just because people are not watching does not mean that God does not see you and He hears you and He knows everything that you're doing. So to be a better role model, live the life that you say that you're living. Don't let it be a lie. Live the life that you say. Don't teeter-totter back and forth. Don't let them see you do all manners of things, because sometimes people do all manners of things and expect people to still respect them and respect their walk with Christ. They are not going to do that, especially if they have not come into the fullness of Christ. They're not going to look at you if you're smoking. They're not going to listen to you if you're drinking. They're not going to listen to you if they see you in the club. So if you're living a life of Christ and you're in the body of Christ and you say you are living clean and holy, live clean and holy in front of people. live clean and holy behind closed doors. Because like I say, not only are people watching you, God sees everything. He sees all. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Ms. Watson. And then last, we're going to go to Pastor Malone. And we're going to ask Pastor Malone, why does Paul so frequently emphasize the importance of preserving pure Bible doctrine? Again, why? Why did Paul so frequently emphasize the importance of preserving pure Bible doctrine? How does that relate to us and to people that are saved and those that are hearing the Word of God, Pastor?
Let me make sure I have you correctly. You said that why does he emphasize so much on pure sound doctrine?
Why did Paul so frequently? Why is it important? Paul had he was frequently emphasizing the importance of preserving pure Bible doctrine. In other words, why is it important for us to go by the Word of God, to preach the Word of God, not really refrain from the Word? Why is it important to not to, you know, sometimes people add things, sometimes people have their own set of rules, of legalism as to what they're teaching people, but why is it important that we preserve pure Bible doctrine?
That's because, like you said earlier, people put what they want to put into Scripture and they change things around to fit their motives and what they think, their opinion. But we know that our minds are not like God's. And God is the only one that will not fail. His word will always stand. Man's thoughts and philosophy will fall, but the word of God would always stand. So if you want to live a spirit-filled life and live the life that God set forth for us, you have to live according to his words, not the words of people, of men. In the sound doctrine and the pure biblical studies is the only way you're going to make it, because everything else will fail except for the word of God. Back to you, Dr. McCall.
Thank you, Pastor Malone. At this time, we would just like to thank radio listeners for listening to the breakthrough broadcast we're about to go before the throne of grace. We want Pastor Francina Shea to get ready to pray for those that are having infirmities in their bodies, those that are troubled at heart, those that that need God to come in because they need to be encouraged. Some people are going through situations in life and they need to be encouraged. And we want you to pray for the salvation of souls. We just have a few minutes, so we're going to ask you to pray for our radio audience, the listening, those that are in need. Pastor Shane.
Dr. McCoy, thank you, Father. Thank you, Dr. McCoy. Father God, we just come before you and we join together in prayer. Women and man of God that are here speaking on the broadcast, Father, we ask you to touch every soul, every listener that's listening that might have a sickness in their body. Father God, in Jesus' name, I ask you to touch them, Lord. They might have they might be depressed, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I ask you to heal them in Jesus' name. Father God, they might have cancer in their body, Father God. I ask you to touch them, Lord, as they reach out to you in prayer and ask you for healing, Father God. And Father God, forgive them, Father God, for their sins. Many of our brothers and sisters, Lord, they might have fallen short, Lord, just as I have many times, Father. I ask you to forgive them, Father God, in Jesus' name, and restore them, Father God, in Jesus' name. I ask you to touch bodies that have arthritis. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, Father God, and heart conditions, Father God, in Jesus' name. Father God, I just thank you. Father God, have your way, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Father God, in Jesus' name, I want to reach out to those that don't know you, Father God. All you have to do is come. The Bible says, come. Whosoever will, let him come. Thank you, Jesus. And taste of the waters and drink of the waters freely. Come to Jesus that he may give you life. There's nothing that you have done that God will not forgive you of if you just ask. And just ask him to forgive you of your sins, because we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so I just invite you to come to Jesus today and surrender your life to him, because he's waiting. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, he's welcoming you. He's got his arms wide open. And some of you all that are listening out there, some of you have went away from the Lord. He's telling you to come back. Come back to him. His arms are wide open. There's nothing that you have done that he will not forgive you of if you just ask him. He's that kind of God, and he's looking to restore you. So come back to the Lord. Come back to Jesus. He is so good. And, Father, I ask you to go with each and every one of us today, Lord, and touch us, Lord, our families, and keep us. In Jesus' name, I pray, and I turn it back over to Dr. McCoy.
We would like to thank Pastor Francina Shanks, and we would like to thank all of our panel members, Ms. Helen White, Pastor Francina Shanks, and Pastor Louis Malone. Please join us on our next appointed time as we again come to you and to teach the Word of God, that you can have clarity and understanding. May God bless and keep you, is our prayer.